Hello, good people, and welcome to this broadcast of Alchemy of Light. I am Jamil Graham. I am your host, and I took the month of April off to reflect and regroup and recharge. And I am a resident of Boston, Massachusetts. And it was, of course, not an accident that I happened to be on retreat from the live broadcast in the month of April, as Boston hosted a major event for not only America, but perhaps for the global context of how we view ourselves as nations and as citizens of the world and ultimately the universe. And the Alchemy of Light broadcast is a celebration and exploration of consciousness, how we feel and think, because everything begins with a feeling. And here on planet Earth, as human beings, we are walking, feeling beings. And these events that happen in our world intimately affect us, even if we choose not to look at them. And in this time of our planetary evolution, revolution, healing, these events are happening for the benefit of all, that we might join together and find a new way to carry on from here. And I am this, in this Alchemy of Light broadcast, I am coming back to the live broadcast, and I really am excited that we have this opportunity to explore and celebrate the gifts of the Boston meltdown and the birth of Israelica, the encore of the old world order, waking up to the violence so we can see it, heal it, and move on. And this is going to be an exploration and sharing from my experience here on the ground, here in Boston, as a resident. And I really, my intention of this show is to stir this conversation up. Right after these traumatic events, Boston being just one of the many violent events that happened, perhaps some natural and perhaps many not natural, the violence itself in the last month was just off the charts around the globe in many of our consciousness. And this is a really important opportunity to open up and to come into the conversation and resist the temptation to roll over and go back to sleep and act like it's not happening and just put it down. Because, you know, it seems like with every single traumatic event that happens, it's almost like denial happens in a new flavor. And I'm seeing the denial experience and express itself as well. And there are a lot of people who, for whatever reason, are not able to join the conversation of our experience in this world as a global community in the violence that we are living in, living through, and co-creating on so many levels. We are co-creating this violent experience by a combination of our conscious and unconscious participation in this, by allowing our sacred psychic space to be used as a tool for this manifestation. And we are also co-creating this violence by the money that is taken from our taxes and used specifically in the military industrial complex business war effort. We are all complicit and we are all co-creators. And that is the good news. That is the best news I have ever heard, because that means we, all of us who really care about healing the violence on this planet, can do so. If we can create it, we can create the change that we really so desire in our hearts to see. And I have not yet met a single person who really celebrates violence. Now, I know they are out there. I know full well that there are people who do get excited about hurting people. That is a phenomena of our multiverse. That is a phenomena of life on planet Earth. And this is part of this conversation context as well. I would really like to begin this conversation, this exploration, which will go on. It will go on because we will be addressing the violence on our planet until we have healed it, until we have come to terms with it, until we have made peace with ourselves, our part in it, and chosen to heal that and move on. This is really how I feel about this opportunity that the Boston Meltdown has given us. Now, I'd like to share some of the ground rules of sorts in the context that I am going to be facilitating this exploration. This is a multidimensional exploration that is based in unity consciousness. And in unity consciousness, not only is there room for all, but all is in the conversation. And there is a temptation in the way that we've been indoctrinated in our belief systems about who's right and who's wrong. In unity consciousness, you and I are both right, and you and I are both, quote, wrong, in the sense that you and I both can grow wiser. You and I both have the limited experience and knowledge that you and I both have. That means there's room for more to learn and grow in both of our experience. It's unity consciousness. It is all the perceived duality inclusive of the good, the bad, and every shade of gray in between. And to really begin to heal the violence on our planet, we need a new platform to look at it from. And this is my proposal. This is my proposal of a new platform, that we move to a unity consciousness platform and a multidimensional exploration to look at the violence, its multidimensional aspects, our multidimensional participation in that, and our multidimensional solutions that are inherent as we develop the clarity and the grounding and the awareness of our situation and our part in it that will automatically unfold. The first thing is to look at it. We have to look at this violence. We have to look at what it is, what it really is. There are a lot in the Boston Meltdown, in the Boston bombings, and I'm using Boston Meltdown to include all of the bombings, and we'll go to that in just a minute. But in the Boston Meltdown experience, there were a lot of storylines and a lot of things, like in every single one of the catastrophes, the wars, all these things. There's always the storyline. There's always the drama. There's always the who did it and how they did it and why they did it. And that all of those storylines are really important. But those are not necessarily the storylines are not what is going to join us ultimately as a species in facing this violence and making peace with our part in this violence, and becoming aware of what we can do, allowing ourselves to become tools of healing the violence. All of the storylines are not where we are going to agree. Everybody has their version of whatever the storyline is, because that is what version of the story they are able to process, to assimilate, to understand at this point in their soul's journey. The multidimensional exploration from unity consciousness is grounded in the soul's journey. In the soul being the eternal life seed that is inherent in every single being, beginning with our host planet, the Earth. The Earth itself has a soul. It has an inherent life purpose. It has chosen to exist. It exists for the benefit of all that it chooses to experience, to host, to be a part of. The Earth itself is a living being. The Earth itself has a living soul. Every single being on the planet, from the rock to the tree, to the snake, to the spider, to the birds, to the whales, every living being shares the soul, shares the connection to life, to the life source. And nobody is here without a connection to the life source. We are all beholden to the Creator that gave us this opportunity to experience this life and to share in this life. And maybe we are listening to this broadcast and we are human. And maybe we are listening to this broadcast and we are in a spirit form. Or maybe we are listening to this broadcast and we are tuned in from a vibratory level that doesn't even have a form we can recognize. Because that is how vast the multidimensional multiverse is. To have a conversation of how we can heal the violence on planet Earth in service of this awesome being that has welcomed us here as a human family to develop, to grow, to share, to learn, to experience life, is a conversation that we can have possibly from a place where we are grounded in that gratitude, in that knowing that we are all souls, that we have all come here by the gift of life itself. And I am really excited that in this process of the Boston meltdown, a really amazing thing happened. Now, let's move to what happened on that day, the Boston Marathon bombing, it's called, right? And I'm saying it like that because these are headlines. These are the storylines. And everybody's got their part in the storylines. In the storyline, the Boston Marathon bombing happened on April the 15th of this year. And in the very beginning of the week on Monday, all of the city is just in shock, myself as well. But on Thursday morning, a dear friend of ours transitioned. Reg Waite, a dear friend of ours, we found him dead. His body no longer animate with that beautiful soul in there. And I am so grateful for his timing. Though it was really intense in the week, he really brought me grounding in the preciousness of life. You know, so I personally was humbled to realize that this situation, this bombing, this ongoing war consciousness, this ongoing death and destruction on planet Earth, which has been going on for a long, long time, And I was going to perhaps get caught in my own anger and my own... I was getting on that trajectory of going down the road of the storyline. Who did this and who did that? And then I was humble. Look, this is a life. This is a precious, precious life. All of our lives are so precious. What is important here? What is important? What are we going to be arguing? Are we really going to need to keep arguing about the fact that we have a violence issue on this planet and that it is not working for us? Do we need to have more conversations about who's the terrorist? Who's not the terrorist? Who's got the biggest bombs? Whose house they blow them up in? Who plants them? What is the purpose of having all of those conversations if only they are used to further divide us? What are we here for? Are we here to be right? Or are we here to live? Are we here to love our lives at all? Is there any room? Is there any room in this life that we have to love life, to appreciate life, to stop and go, wow, Reg, you matter. Wow, all of us matter. And that is just, I will be forever grateful that he chose to leave exactly at that moment. And today we had the memorial for him. And that really is setting the tone for me in how I will proceed in this conversation from here and forever in the humbleness of life itself and what a gift it is. And I really welcome anybody to call and share. What ideas do you have for how we can have a conversation about the violence, healing the violence, and all the chapters that we have going on here, simultaneous, violence, violence, violence. What platform do you think we can build that could actually move the conversation forward and include everybody and allow everybody the rightness of their life, of their experience, and the full expression of their soul gift and what they came here for? What do you think could be a platform that would allow a conversation, allow us as a human family to move from right and wrong, me, you, us, them, enemy, the righteous one? Who are we to decide who deserves to be tortured? Who are we to assume any life deserves to be less than regarded as the divine being that it is? And what do you think? What do you think? Is there some way that we can build a platform for everybody to join in the conversation? What can we do? What can we do to have a real conversation? And I'm really looking at that, and I know I'm not the only one looking at that. So I'm going to go to some of the nuts and bolts and the Boston meltdown. I was here in Boston, and when the first explosion happened, I was at a friend's that has a television, and I don't watch television, and I don't have a television, and it's always fascinating to me that when I need to be by a television, I'm there. So I was at a friend's, and we were working together, and we get the news, and we turn on the television. And in the television broadcasts in the very beginning, there were two reports that were very, very consistent. One was that there were announcements that the military was doing a drill. The first reports that came out were talking about a military drill that was taking place during the Boston Marathon. Then the next report said that there had been a bombing. Then they changed their tune and said it was just an explosion, downplayed it a lot, said that it might have even been a gas line that blew. Then it went all the way back up to an explosion. Now, the explosion reports right off the television, this was the live coverage, right off the television in the first few hours. First, they said there was one explosion. Then they said there were two explosions that also they found another bomb that had not been detonated in a hotel that they were able to defuse, and they were evacuating the hotel. And as well, a couple of hours later, another bomb went off at a place called the JFK Library, which is a couple of miles away from the downtown area where these other two explosions and the hotel itself was evacuated. These were the first reports. Now, the reports continued to become more and more inconsistent. For instance, the next day, they had found the guy, right? They ran reports that, and this is I was hearing from the internet at this point, they had found the person who was a dark-skinned male, and he was going to be, you know, taken in. Then, within a couple of hours, he was not found. He was at large. The suspect wasn't there. Also, in the reports that continued, there was a lot more unclarity about what the explosions actually were and who they were actually happening. And the chaos in the media in this particular event seemed to me a lot more progressed than the chaos in the media is usually. And it almost seemed to me like the inconsistencies and the back steps and all the craziness with the media was part of the assault. It was part of the assault because it kept the edge on. It kept the tension. It kept the fear pouring into the city. Now, this is the multidimensional part of it. Because while the bombs went off, while the people themselves were hurt, people really were killed. People really were injured. And at the same time, the media is assaulting us with its constant bombardment of very incompetent journalism, extreme questioning is due to the entire media about their ethics and their commitment to reporting and what their responsibility really is to serving humanity. When the assault happened and the whole city was in shock and in fear, and then the media continues its assault with incompetent reporting, with constant inconsistencies, with the repulsion of these reports that enhanced the perceived violence, and these reports that really pour on all of our reasons to be afraid, to be afraid, to be afraid. That fear counts. That fear is being injected into the city to this day. They are not through by a long shot with their intention of the Boston meltdown. They are pouring fear into the city in enormous quantities. Now, the report of yesterday or actually started day before yesterday, but yesterday it was in the newspapers. They're now arresting friends of his. Okay? They are continuing the fear. They're continuing the storyline. And they're continuing the inconsistencies of the storyline. So the inconsistencies, just to name a few of the storyline, were revolving around timelines, revolving around suspects, revolving around specifics that were just partially reported, then were scrubbed from the internet. For instance, on Friday, when the whole town went into lockdown, which was a voluntary lockdown, the whole city did not shut down. It was voluntary, and some places did stay open for business. However, in a lockdown, voluntary, the governor did have the power to shut down all of the transportation, to set up checkpoints so that cars were heavily monitored. And if you were going to get in a car and drive through Boston, you were going to meet some form of imposed authority that carried a gun. Okay? These guys are imposing their authority with guns. This is not necessarily an authority that we need to give our power away to. And when we realize that we are eternal beings, that our bodies are our gift to be participating here on planet Earth at this time, those guns mean something very, very different than they do when we assume that all we are is our body. Those guns are fear machines. Those guns put the fear of our very mortality into us just by the sight of them. Those guns are an imposed authority. They are the ultimate bully tool. They are not authorities by divine ordination. They are imposed. We do not have to surrender our sovereignty of being to a bully with a gun ever. And when we realize that we are eternal beings, we are not these bodies we have been gifted with to have this experience, we begin to realize that those bodies who are choosing the role, they are choosing the role in the theater of humanity to carry those guns. They are choosing that role. We have the opportunity to see them as their divine beings as well. Those beings who are choosing the role of carrying those tools of intimidation. That's what they are. They are tools of intimidation. They cause death and destruction. That's what guns do. They kill. They kill. And the people who choose to carry them in an imposed role of authority that, hey folks, we the taxpayers pay, we are paying them to carry those guns and intimidate us to do what? So they can set up roadblocks and tell us if we can drive through or not on this particular day. Now think about that. Think about that power of our sovereignty. We're giving this fear of what? What are we so afraid of here? Now, in the Boston meltdown, we are afraid of terrorists, right? We're supposed to be afraid of terrorists. Like, these guys now, the storyline reads, oh, well, they were making these bombs in their house in Watertown. Okay? Are we really afraid of people making bombs in their houses in Watertown? Why are we afraid of that suggestion? You see how the storyline really can throw us off? You see how devastating that storyline can be? Because it's just telling us something so we think we know. Okay? So I want to shift. So this is just the basic storyline, the one that's going out in mainstream. Now let's go to another storyline. Let's go to a whole other dimension of the Boston meltdown and move toward what we're talking about with the Boston meltdown and the birth of Israelica, the encore of the old world order. So viewed from another perspective, what happened in Boston, there were a couple of things very striking to me. The Boston Marathon bombings, the Boston meltdown, took place on Monday, April the 15th, 2013. In Boston, in Massachusetts, that is the day we call Patriots Day. And it's only a Massachusetts holiday on that date, which is interesting because Patriots Day is the day that marked the beginning of the Revolutionary War and that infamous ride of Paul Revere, the British are coming, the British are coming, and the shot that was heard around the world. This is how I remember it from school. This was the beginning of the Revolutionary War, Patriots Day. And it's only celebrated in Massachusetts, which I think is very interesting because this was the day back in 1775 that began the perceived sovereignty of what became America from British rule. Now, the war that continued, the Revolutionary War continued and continued all the way across the continent until the genocide of the indigenous people was manageable. Okay? The indigenous people in the millions that were living here before this particular day were working things out, you know? But when this day happened and that shot went around the world, this continent became one big bloodbath. Now, I don't think that the patriots who were choosing to challenge the British rule had that in their mind, you know? In my perspective, it's important to give fair human love and compassion to the consciousness that existed at that time and the process of humanity at that time. And in so doing, we can better appreciate where we're at now and the choices that we have now because we have grown a lot in these 200 odd years as a species. Many things that we didn't question, that never occurred to us, the temperament of the need to protect our own little world, what we call now segregation and racism and all these things, we still have and are still engaged in healing these things. But the consciousness of that time was considerably less mature than we are now in the simple fact that if you look at the first drafts of the Constitution, we the people was white men with money. That's the consciousness that was bringing in the birth of this idea of America and the justification of the genocide. This consciousness is not where we're at now. Humanity's grown. Humanity has begun to recognize on huge, huge levels that those behaviors are simply repulsive to us now. We do question genocide now. And why is it that even though we have questioned and petitioned and even been part of developing organizations that are supposed to be concerned about the world peace order that we all get along, we have not been able to move this need of ours as a human species into a greater level of tolerance and respect for all life. When we know in our heart, every one of us, that genocide is not all right. We know that now. 200 years ago, sure, a lot of people knew it then, but a lot more people know it now. So in this next level of what's going on here in the Boston meltdown, if we look at a new level of what is it that's possessing, I use the word possessing intentionally, what is possessing humanity to kill and to condone killing and to remain silent in the face of not only killing our own human species, but the blatant disrespect for the planet itself. We are being possessed to commit our own suicide here. Why? What is it that is not allowing us as a human species to move into energy technologies that do not destroy the earth, the sacred, sacred soul, living being, earth, that is so generous in hosting us? Why is it that we can't seem to do that? What is possessing us to believe that we are so impotent that we have to just go on being violent? Do we really? So what happens here in the Boston meltdown that happened on Patriots Day? Patriots Day being the day of the birth of the American Revolution that challenged the British rule 200 odd years ago. The pictures that were shown over and over and still are shown over and over of the explosions happened in the section very near the finish line of the Boston Marathon where all the world flags are up. And that really spoke to me. So the world, the shot again is heard around the world. These explosions are again being heard around the world. And when we talk about another level, we need to be open to the fact that our military are trained killers. Our military was conducting a drill. And drills are used to create events. If you are not going to practice before you do something or while you're doing something, why would you need to be practicing at all? The military was conducting a drill. There were 15,000, that is three zeros, good people, 15,000 people here from the military, from the special operations, the black they aren't black operations, these are the special operations. They're factions of the military and the police services. And 32 different divisions. And my numbers might be off a little. I did hear these numbers. I found these numbers in two different sources. So if I'm off a little, please forgive me. But this is very, very close. There were 15,000 people here in Boston for this drill that included the bomb squad to do what? Now, this is a line of questioning that I think would be much more effective in the long run for those of us who are ready to have a conversation about what the military-industrial complex function is in our life at this point. The military-industrial complex is convincing itself by our complacency and our complicit, oh yes, our fear of the enemy, that we need it to keep us safe. We need to have, do you want them? Hey, call them up. They'll bring these 15,000 people to your town too. Let me tell you, they like this kind of stuff. Or do they? How many of those people, I question, who came here for the drill of explosions and the drill of chasing people and the drill of torturing people? Who really wanted that? Or how many people were showing up for their paychecks? You know, and I wonder how many people who know more about what this drill was about and how many parts of the drill were enacted and how many parts of the drill were declined and what all the backstory was and whatever was going on with these people, these young men that are now being victimized as the culprits of this event. What the hell was going on behind the scenes in this drill? This was a military drill. Well, some of the things that came through in their broken way in the media about what happened were they had several explosions. There were the two reported from the downtown area on the first day, as well as the third one that happened at JFK. There were at least two other bombs reported that were found and detonated, found and defused in Boston. At least two others. I heard of only two, and I'm saying it like that because there was so much squirrely media, and I have been doing a lot of research, but like I said, in all honesty, this is the squirreliest, most crazy media coverage, non-coverage that I've seen. They just cannot keep their stories consistent. They make one story, it gets scrubbed from the internet. This is a really squirrely deal. So there were at least two more bombs that were supposedly found, and then nothing happened. And then on Friday, there was a controlled, during the lockdown, the voluntary lockdown, with complete police governance at every entrance and exit of the highway and on every street in the Boston area, in parts of Boston, not all of Boston, but it was very thorough in the areas where they were highlighting over in the Cambridge area. There was a controlled explosion there. So that's a lot of bombs. Then they continued to talk about more bombs in the headlines that they were running, where they were promoting the idea of constant terrorism, constant terrorism, constant fear, 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 fear. Again, the multidimensional, the emotional impact, the inundation into our psychic space of fear, of enemy, of other. Be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. All that pumping us in there while they're doing their drills, figuring out how to find and blow up and what. Or maybe this drill is all about generating this level of fear. Period. Maybe the drill is just about that. Because it was and continues to this day. Now let's look at some of the other things in the drill. I want to really offer how do you say this? The two young men, the two brothers, who are now being demonized, victimized by the media, by the irresponsible, unethical, morally bereft, just appalling media. These two people were supposedly suspects. They were supposedly suspects in this military drill. These are human beings. These two young men are human beings. And whatever their involvement is or was with the FBI, with the CIA, with the military-industrial complex, maybe they were on the payroll of this event. Maybe they were. Maybe we paid them to be part of the event. Remember, we pay the payroll for every single one of these military operations for our taxes. So maybe they were on our payroll to run this military drill. They're human beings. They were being pursued as suspects. Suspects mean that you didn't do anything, right? Supposedly in America, you're innocent until proven guilty. Isn't that what we're taught? Isn't that what the story is here? That America is free because we have these three branches of government, and that you get your Miranda rights, that you have the right to remain silent, and you can be represented fairly, and all sides are heard, and you are not guilty until you are proven guilty. This is supposedly what makes America free. One of the things. We have freedom of speech, right? We can speak our mind. And we are not supposed to be criminals unless we are proven criminals. But that was not the case. As of April the 15th, 2013, here in Boston, Massachusetts, these two young men, while called suspects, were pursued. I personally grieve profoundly the death of the older brother. And I really send his family my whole heart and love. And I don't know what his part was. But I know in my heart that he died unjustly. And I don't know if what level his participation was. He did not deserve to die. He did not deserve that. And his younger brother does not deserve to be carrying the weight of the entire military-industrial complex drill in his karma. Whatever participation he had, the military-industrial complex was running a drill. And they are the ones we need to be talking to about what the hell they were doing in Boston on April the 15th, 2013, and all the days preceding, and all the days since. This young man did not create these events. These two young men were suspects. To this day, there is no proof. When you torture somebody and they tell you what you want to hear, that does not count as proof in my book. That is not proof. That young man, the youngest brother, is now being cast by the irresponsible, unethical, morally bereft media as the enemy of state, when the state itself, the military-industrial complex, and its multinational interests in creating this event here in Boston, Massachusetts, is responsible. Now, we have a big job ahead of us. Those of us who can move to a new place and looking at this. And many people can't. Many people can't. Many people really need to stay in enemy, in duality, in us and them. Many people need to be there right now. And that's okay. We don't need the majority. We do not need the majority to shift this violence here on planet Earth to love, to our true sovereign being, to our true sovereign essence. We don't need the majority. We don't have to worry about anybody but ourselves and our own contribution and our own ability to look at the bigger picture of what's going on here. Because those of us who are questioning, those of us who have been studying, those of us who really do understand that there's a lot more to the picture than meets the eye, those of us who know that need to keep doing what we're doing and need to keep speaking and need to keep being real with ourselves. But we also need, I feel at this time, more than anything, to develop our own compassion toward everybody else. Because people are not wrong if they can't look at the bigger picture. And if we are taking our awareness and our ability to look at the bigger picture and go to these other levels of the conversation, of the connection to what we are seeing. We are seeing this because we have come to a place where we can see this. And the more we can love people, honestly, give them space to be exactly where they are at, the more we will empower the light that needs to come through those of us who can see it. The challenge of becoming a whole species is multidimensional in our conversation of consciousness. In the universal consciousness, we are all one species. There's no conversation in the universe consciousness, because in the universe reality, what I do to you, I do to myself. And the universe knows this. So the universe is just waiting for us as a human species in our consciousness to come to realize that in the way that we need to come to realize that. And the universe is very patient. It's not in a hurry. What it cares about more than hurry is patience. And I don't have a lot of patience. So I'm not saying that I can do all this all the time, but I'm suggesting that this is something that those of us who are able to have the conversation in a bigger context can offer. If we can, and as we encounter people who are shutting down in fear, who are going deep into enemy, us and them, duality consciousness, we can love them anyway. And in our ability to open our hearts to them and allow the space between us to heal and open, even though we don't agree, that will empower the light to come through all of us. Because we are all in this together. And so many of us can go more and more, and more of us are going to this place of addressing the military-industrial complex itself that we have all co-created, and the violence that it is just wreaking on this planet on levels we never could have imagined. We have new terms for the violence that is going on this planet. We have ecocide. Because the military-industrial complex, by the power of our dollars, has developed itself new technologies using depleted uranium. Depleted uranium is being dispersed around the globe on our paycheck, contaminating life for generations unknown. This is a military-industrial complex endeavor that we are paying for. And we deserve to know what we're paying for. So those of us that can ask, keep asking. And keep loving those who can't. Because they deserve it. And then, let's go to the next level. The next level, if we are looking at this conversation from a military-industrial complex phenomena, then we are looking at the military-industrial complex as a global agreement, in that there has been a global agreement that military using force, using violence, to achieve your ends is okay. That not only is it okay, it's necessary. In our consciousness for the last 2,000 plus years, and it is in my reality, humanity is not a violent species. Humanity needs to be pushed, prodded, coerced, manipulated, cajoled into violence. Violence is the most unnatural thing that any species can do. The universal law of life's primary rule is to enhance life. Violence does the opposite. Violence destroys life. That is completely unnatural to every life being. In our inside, something feels really wrong. And I'll use wrong only as opposed to something that we know when we do feels really good. When it gives us energy, when we feel really in line, it gives us energy. It gives us life. We feel connected. When we commit violence, we feel shut down. We feel cut off. We know the flow is being obstructed. Something is not feeling correct in our own self. In unity consciousness, we are obliged to sign up with ourselves, to know our own inner process, to mind the integrity of our own being, of who we are. We are responsible for our contribution, for our multidimensional reality here on planet Earth at all times. This is the responsibility we have agreed to for taking on, for receiving this fantastic gift of being human, or whatever form we might be listening in with right now. Because this is our opportunity. This is a great opportunity. So in the next level, the military-industrial complex, the military consciousness, the idea of killing to claim space, the idea of killing to impose your doctrine, your will, your desire, all that has been accepted in the mass consciousness as necessary. But where did it come from? Where did it come from? This idea of killing. Here on planet Earth, this is a big step. Here on planet Earth, violence has perhaps many origins of sorts. If we're going to go and do the list. But I believe it has really one source that we could all identify in the conversation of consciousness. In the conversation of consciousness where we are the alchemists, where our consciousness is part of the co-creation. And part of this co-creation of violence is in the part of violence, in the storyline of violence that's played out and not openly played out. This is the part of violence that happens in satanic ritual killings. And the satanic ritual killings takes place in many different religions. Sacrificial killings. How often have we heard that term? The idea of sacrificing a life has been rooted in an what we would call an esoteric, in a spiritual mission, in a way, in an intentional way to connect with the gods, what we're called, what we're taught are the gods, with the higher powers, with the entities from above, with a greater universal power. A killing has been condoned. We will kill a child and offer it as sacrifice to our gods that are not in their physical human state, that the gods that we consider God, or some do, well, they are in the sense that with the higher intelligences that need that blood. There are multi-dimensions of this reality. We have the three dimension, we have our body, and this is another reason why I suggest this platform of a multidimensional exploration, because when we can really get to the point where we can accept and know that there are dimensions that are not in this physical manifestation, but are grounded literally in the reality in other dimensions, for the sake of the conversation, let's call it the fourth dimension. That is just above the third dimension, very intimately connected to the third dimension here on planet Earth. There are entities that live there, as well as in five and six, all of these dimensions. I'm using those numbers to give us a structure. But the jury is not out in the conversation of dimensions. This is a conversation we need to have because we're birthing a universal consciousness This is the universe. This is the multidimensional reality of the human, that we are sharing this experience, not just with other humans, not just with these guys in military uniforms and these all these agendas that are, you know, go on in the boardrooms and all the basements where these sacrifices and rapes happen, that we are sharing this multiverse with entities that live in other dimensions that are equally invested in what happens here on planet Earth. We are a very populated place. The fourth, fifth dimensions, we'll go to six, okay? We'll just say the fourth, fifth, and sixth dimensions are intimately connected. The beings that are on those dimensions are intimately connected to what's going on right here. They are with us always. They have their agendas always. So if we can look at the issue and the reality of violence from a multidimensional perspective and include the entities and their agendas that may well have something to do with the seeds that have been planted in our consciousness as a developing species, as a developing human species that not only condones violence, but accepts it as normal, as necessary, and as a source connection to a higher God. Where did those ideas come from? Where did they come from? Maybe they came from another intelligence that is in the fourth or fifth dimension, that is in another dimension, that takes something from these sacrifices, from these ongoing violent experiences that are perpetrated on the human race. And not only that, but the human race is possessed to continue perpetrating on itself and the entire planet, to the point that the human is possessed now to create its own suicide by destroying the Earth's resources that support it. Maybe there's another part that is allowing this feeding of this seed of violence. Maybe the satanic ritual killings and all the ritual violence that's not just religious, but that's written in all of our codes of law, quote, of the imposed laws. These are not natural laws. These are imposed laws that in the Middle East, for instance, you know, stoning women who speak too loud or flogging, you know, beating them, killing them for being raped, that's a condoning of violence. Here in America, it's not quite so obvious because while they supposedly, you know, have equal rights and all that yada yada here, rape survivors here are blamed here in the legal system while rapists walk free, right? Or no, they might get their hand slapped, you know, get a few months. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the condoning of violence that we have allowed in our consciousness. We are all complicit in this. This is why we can look at this and address it. And we can go to a higher reality and understand that there are multi-dimensions to this. In addressing the entities, the satanic ritual killings that support these ongoing slaughters is key for those of us who are ready to have this conversation and begin and continue our part in unraveling the knots that have been tied in the sacred connection of humanity to its source, to its divine source, to who it really is. And this is really awesome. You know, I mean, it's gory, right? There's a lot of blood. There's a lot of innocence. There's all the storyline is dramatic. It's absolutely fantastic. Ongoing forever and ever. You could just do the storyline for lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes. And if you need to do that, then do it. But there's a whole other thing happening right now where the storyline is changing by necessity. Because the violence cannot continue here on planet Earth. And the human itself is disposable. The Earth will heal itself. The Earth will cleanse itself. The Earth has had enough. It does not need humans. It doesn't need humanity. It doesn't need us. It's fine without us. If the Earth wants to continue a human experiment here, you only need a couple of good breeders. So we have a choice. Are we going to allow ourselves to be tools of our own destruction? Of our own annihilation? Or are we going to come to a place where we are ready to move to a bigger picture, to a way that we may be able to talk to each other and give each other space, true space from our heart to be exactly where we're at and truly put our heads together, our hearts together, really open our hearts. Bring our hearts into this conversation. Bring our love of life. Bring our joy for life. Bring our joy for our kids. What are we doing this for if it's not for our kids? If we can bring that into the conversation, then looking at the satanic ritual violence and how this bleeds in to every aspect of our life and how we've come to believe that killing is okay, we can move forward. We can move forward. This isn't about just the Boston meltdown. This is about the 2,500 odd years that humanity has been poisoned with this violence. And it's okay. And I use the word poisoned because it is the word that really speaks to the essence. Poisoned means that a situation, a poisoning is an intention to arrest a life in its sovereign path. If you poison something, you are intending to arrest its natural course. You want to alter it, if not annihilate it altogether. That is what poisoning is. Poisoning is an intention to harm, to manipulate, to your own satisfaction. And that is really what is, on one level, the human consciousness itself has endured this amazing poisoning. And we can celebrate that we are even here at this time to move forward in this conversation. It's a very exciting time. So the Boston meltdown happened on Patriots Day. And in a satanic ritual foundational exploration of what that significance would be, again with the flashes, you know, the explosions highlighting the world by the flags, what might that mean? What might the significance be then of a grand event of violence that has a satanic ritual agenda be? Now, the satanic rituals are never random killings. A killing, when it's in a ritual format, has a specific agenda. And in these killings that happen in this specific agenda, they are planting seeds literally in the consciousness, in our consciousness, as human beings who are participating in them. They are planting this seed They're planting a dream. They're planting an agenda. That's what the ritual part is. That's why rituals are so powerful. That's why rituals, when the genocide happened across this land, were the first things that were destroyed and illegally by imposed law outlawed. Because the power of the ritual is that strong. When a ritual is established to develop, to create, it works. It works. A prayer is a form of a ritual. Whenever we put our minds together in a specific intention, is a form of ritual. And the ritual of killing is a specific agenda. And this is one place that is very fruitful for solving core challenges in the incessant violence on this planet. To really stop the violence on this planet, I believe we're going to have to look at these connections, at where these seeds are planted in the sacred psychic space of the human who are complicit in participating in them, hence putting them in the consciousness, in the mass consciousness of the entire species, because we are one. And even if these people themselves do not realize that, they are still doing the work just the same. And we are still getting the bill just the same. And we can address this at its core. Now we can address this because now we can see so much more. So looking at this from a satanic ritual killing, and all the killings that go on in April. April is a very popular month for massacre. And I don't want to digress there. But I think it's important to include that reality in the satanic ritual killing conversation and how these seeds are then planted into the mass consciousness that we allow. The key is we allow, and the key is we can change our mind. We do not have to allow that. We can learn who we are. We can develop very powerful, intimate connections with ourselves and clean our own houses internally and not allow them to be a part of our manifestation on this planet. We can do that as an individual. And that is one of the greatest things. Because you don't even have to go and pay money for that. You can learn about yourself anytime you're ready. Anytime. You go into your own reality. You do your own work. Finding these places that are the places where condoning violence exists in you. And we all have them. We all have this to grapple with because we have chosen to come here to heal this. I believe we have chosen to come here to make the world a little bit better for the kids coming. And I know that there are some who've come here to make it a hell of a lot worse. But they are by far the minority. So the more of us that can take full responsibility for our own very unique inner world, for the beauty that lies inside of all of us, and clean our own inner houses, and really get an idea, get a sense, get home with ourselves, and see where we have allowed these manifestations of violence in these satanic ritual killings, in these satanic ritual laws that have condoned violence throughout the world, we can heal that in ourselves and we can move the conversation forward. in ourselves, because that's where it starts. Until we can come to some way of managing our own inner world, we are going to be having the same he done it, she done it conversation. And some of us, many of us, are ready to move to the next level of conversation. And that's what Alchemy of Light is doing right now. We're raising the bar in the conversation, in our intention to heal the violence on this planet. For the sake of the planet, and for the sake of whoever might be here when it's all said and done. And I don't know who that is, because we are recreating our world every day. And we don't know. Okay? So what happened to me, in my opinion, in my exploration, Monday, April the 15th, 2013, on Patriots Day, the day that is celebrated as Patriots Day in Massachusetts, to me marked the reset of this country. The reset of America has been coming on very openly since 2008, when there was a coup in the economic world, and there was a coup of the Federal Reserve Bank basically taking over the country by the purse strings in full. There were a lot of people who understood this at the time. There have been since a lot of really good documentaries and exposés and things like that that have come out to point to this reality that the economic system itself was intentionally set up through the abdicating through the American system of laws and stops and things like that, all prevention that was in place in the financial world that would allow for the debtor economy to continue was systemically removed from beginning most overtly in the Reagan years. You see, this didn't just happen. There were 30-odd years of a systemic destruction, removal, rewriting of many, many laws that allowed for the 2008 meltdown of the economic system. And at that time is when the American dream on the economic level, in my perspective, was done. That was the opening of the gates of the end of America as we knew it. And since 2008, the economic meltdown continues, and yeah, they say, oh, it's getting better. They put, you know, this many jobs, or the market went up, and the market went down. Yeah, right. That's for people who need to have those storylines. But that doesn't look real to me. And any reality that makes any sense for the continuation and thriving of life here on planet Earth for humanity or anybody else, that does not look like a sustainable, truth doesn't even like come in. There's no truth in that, in the sense of the bigger picture of what's going on with the economic system. It has been destroyed from the inside. And anybody who wants to just get a look at a little bit of that can go find that movie, Inside Job. Okay? That is one of the best intelligent documentaries about just how that was done. And if you're just new to this conversation, and this is a really good place to start. This country was economically flattened 2008. And now a lot of things have been going on in the world and blah, 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 blah. So here we are. Boston being the place where America was, in essence, born. The idea of sovereignty from Britain was born, took the reins, and ran from Boston, from Massachusetts. To me, the satanic ritual, violent underpinning that may well be in the seed of the Boston Marathon bombings may well be just that. The destroying, the final blow of the sovereign American nation as we once believed it might be. That's really what it feels like to me. And I want to go to a word. There are terms for these kinds of military operations that are in use. And one of them is called a false flag. And the false flag is a military term for a stage event with a specific political agenda in mind. And some examples of a false flag event, there are many, but I've got two up to share with you. The first, well, one of the easy, these are easy to research, which is why I chose these. The first one was the Tonkin Bay assault that happened when America claimed that the Vietnamese had been shelling the ship, and it hadn't been. And McNamara, the Secretary of State at the time, he became a whistleblower in his last days and came right out and said, Tonkin Bay never happened. It didn't happen. It was a false flag event in the sense that, or its mission was, it was a false flag event with the agenda to win support for the invasion of Vietnam. Because the media, then irresponsible, ethically bereft, perhaps less so now, because perhaps it really didn't know. You know, we got to give people space for being where they're at, you know, like I said, and I really do believe that. So maybe they really didn't know. They were told to report an attack. So the American people rally. Oh my God, the bad guys, they're shooting us, Go get them. Go kill them. It's okay, go kill them. Yeah, you've got my consent. That's cool. Yeah, they are assaulting you. So you get in your boat and you go get them. Yeah, do it for me. Kill for my freedom. They're assaulting my freedom because they're shooting at my boat in the water. Get them! Kill them! Go! And so the Vietnam War is launched. Okay, that's one. That's a false flag. Right there. The Tonkin Bay that never happened. Very easy to research. But then it gets a little bit stickier. The next one I'm going to present is what happened in the wake of the false flag event of 9/11. And I'm not going to go into 9/11. The bombings, the intentional bombings and demolition of the World Trade Centers 1, 2, and 7. I'm not going to go into that false flag event other than to say that that too was a false flag event with an agenda to bring on the Patriot Act and continue the agenda that we are in right now. the bombings, the demolition, the intentional demolition of the World Trade Centers 1, 2, and 7, and the entire agenda of what was set forward in those killings is exactly connected to where we're at right now. That was a very important stepping stone for the agenda of human annihilation that we are living in right now. That too was a false flag event. It was a staged event that cost a lot of people's lives with a specific agenda to move this forward in destroying the American way of life and continuing the process of what people call the New World Order. This idea that the whole world can be manipulated and controlled by an imposed authority carrying a gun. This is what the New World Order, the basic tenet is, that a bunch of guys who carry guns are going to intimidate the entirety of humanity so that we just, you know, roll over and say, yeah, anything you want because you're so scary, you got the gun. But I don't think that that's the only alternative. But that is the agenda in place. So the next false flag from there, from the 9/11 false flag, was the false flag of the weapons of mass destruction. Do you remember that? Who had weapons of mass destruction? Who had them? All the media was telling us for months, oh, they have weapons of mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction. Who was that? Iraq. So the media, again, very important to notice the media, because that is the source, that is the pillar source of what feeds the psyche, the consciousness, the mass collective consciousness of humanity. The weapons of mass destruction being promoted, being sold as a reality, as a material reality throughout the world, what did it do? That's why I think this is a good example. What did it do? It slowly, you know, it got people thinking, wow, you know, big bad Iraq. Wow, they got a problem. Whoa, Iraq, you know, negative. Start thinking negative about Iraq. And then the idea of war. We have to go get those weapons of mass destruction. We have to go get them before they get us. Again, the American cowboy go get them violence is a vote. It says, yes, those weapons of mass destruction, they're going to get us if we don't get them. And so, plans are drawn between U.S., Britain, is the occupation, Israel, and the plan is set. The day is set. Now, there's another reason this is really important, because what happened? The media doing all of its false flag promoting of the idea of mass weapons of mass destruction didn't work. It did not work. Around the globe for months leading up to the start date that was well publicized about that war that was going to begin for these supposed weapons of mass destruction did not work, because around the world, people came out. People came out in droves. They came out in droves. There were demonstrations all over the world, including America. No. We do not want war. We came out and said no. And what happened? Our military did it anyway. They began the war in Iraq, the one-sided war. And anybody who does any history at all knows Iraq was in serious decay because of the years of sanctions. It was in a very weak position. America, Britain, the regime, the military regime called Israel, and all of their allies, on our tax budget, we all paid for these wars, the decimation of Iraq, the millions of people that were destroyed, the infrastructure that was destroyed, and the continuing destruction of life for generations unknown by the babies that are being born with the radiation poisoning from the depleted uranium in those bombs that we dropped. We don't even know how many generations are going to be poisoned. And what happened? There were no weapons of mass destruction. There were none. One of the most important things in that false flag media production to note as we sit here is the fact that humanity did not vote for that war. And the important thing, I think, one of the very important things to realize about that is that we're going to have to get smarter about how we're going to address the incessant appetite that humanity has developed for violence. Walking in the streets didn't do it. We had global protests. It didn't do it. We're going to have to do something different. Yes, go in the streets. Yes, raise your voice. Yes, write. Yes, do everything that you are feeling called to do. But we're going to have to do more. We're going to have to do smarter. We're going to have to do something we've never done before. Maybe lots of things we've never done before. Because we are up into the climax of the old world order. This is the encore of the old world order. And the old world order, going in, you know, continuing the idea of controlling our minds, is trying to promote itself as the new world order. It's telling us it's the new world order. But the truth is, in my perspective, there's absolutely nothing new about controlling, manipulating the entirety of humanity and the earth, its resources, by violence. The old world order, these 2,000 plus years, have been nothing but the game of dealing with the imposed control and manipulation by a few carrying guns and more. This is the old world's order, old world order's encore that we are choosing to be here for right now. It is the old world's order, old world's order's last gasp for air. Because humanity doesn't want this violence. And so many of us are rising to the task. And so many more of us are on their way that we will stop this violence. And I see that implicitly in my vision. And I don't know how that's going to happen. I can't tell you how it's going to happen. I can just say that that is what is happening. So the gifts of the Boston meltdown and the birth of Israelica, the encore of the old world order, waking up to the violence so we can see it, heal it, and move on. Now, Israelica, I would like to spell that out. Israel, the military regime of Israel itself, in my opinion, was founded very much in the old world thinking that you needed to have guns and violence to protect your turf. Again, all abandonment of reason, because of the well-known fact that in Palestine, where the Israeli occupation has been in place, the Jewish people lived alongside of everybody else before the guns, before the genocide, before the imposed dictatorship by rule of guns that arrived there to tell everybody who can live there and who can't by their limited rules and regulations and bloodlines and all that stuff. And I'm not going into all of that, though I have studied this and I care a lot about it. And the reason that it's important to call it what it is with respect to all life, again, coming from soul, that every single being is doing their part. Every single being has a right to life. Every single one, including whatever this creation is about, for whoever and wherever they stand in the reality. So, to cut to the bottom line of what I need to say about the military regime of Israel is that it too is another false flag. It is a false flag because it was created with an agenda. The agenda is very easy to see the multi-dimensions at this point from this perspective. One of the agendas was sold to us by the media as a home for the Jews, manipulating the overwhelm, the emotional vulnerability of the human species in the immediate aftermath of World War II, which annihilated a number of people in the Jewish faith. But more than that, it annihilated thousands of other people. It was not just a Jewish Holocaust. It was a Holocaust against so many kinds of people that either happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, had sexuality that was not approved of, had thoughts that were not approved of. This was a Holocaust against humanity that the media promoted largely as a Jewish Holocaust. And that doesn't take away one bit of any of the process or the pain and the suffering that has been endured by all people. When a Jewish person is killed, there are a lot of non-Jewish people who love that person too. This is not just a one-time, one-sect thing. And throughout World War II, a large amount of people who were saved, who were spared, were not saved and spared by Jewish people. They were spared by humans who cared from various walks of life, various religious faiths, various colors, ethnic, various economic structures. This was a human war we all endured. So Israel was created exploiting the wounding of the humanity that we experienced by promoting it as the safe place for the Jews. Because look at how bad those Germans treated those Jews. And I'm saying this with respect. And the Poles, everybody else, right? So the Jews really need a home. So that's one level of the false flag. It's promoted to people in that level of consciousness as the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do to go into Palestine and kill people because that means that there's a safe place for these other people who've been killed. That's one level of the false flag. And the other level of the false flag was specifically the agenda to create a military regime that could continue to develop military technologies, military intelligences that could be in its own reality and not be subjected to anybody's laws. And the military regime of Israel is exactly that. It is the state-of-the-art military regime. They have every kind of toy for torture, for destruction. They galvanize new technologies and the drones and the biological warfare, you name it. Israel is your one-stop shop for destroying life using military. That is what the military regime of Israel is about. And I'm talking about the military regime. I'm not talking about the other level where people have come there seeking solace from war, seeking a place of safety. You know, those are human beings there. And I am very sure that there are at least some of the Jewish people who have gone there have sympathy for the fact that they are living in an occupied land and that they are living side by side the ongoing violence against the Palestinian people every day in the heinous blocks of basic food, basic medical, basic education, that are all of the areas that the Palestinian people are denied their basic integrity in the land that they once called home. That is another example which looks very much like what happened here in America. So I'm trying to get to the common threads. You know, we have these names and we have this, the drama, we have the stories, but there are common threads that are consistent in all of these. And again, the underpinning of violence as the way that we get things done here is really where my focus is in untying. So Israel has become a very loud focus of attention, not only in the purse strings here of America, where the presidents must, you know, vow their loyalty and the ongoing support. I mean, it's really interesting how in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years in specific, since Obama has been at the puppet helm there, that, you know, the Israeli cause is mentioned. The Israelis will be supported. This military regime will go on, will go on, will go on. And then the way that the election, this last, you know, the show of election, how Israel actually imposed its will in the show. You know, we've had this thing going on. The influence of Israel has been really clear, clearly growing more overt, clearly growing more in the light. We can see it more. That's beautiful. That's a gift that we can see it. So in the Boston meltdown and the birth of Israelica, and I'm calling it that because I feel like that was the day that America was reset. And the new agenda is being put in place right now, which is why it's really important to speak up and speak out and decide to commit ourselves to healing this violence right now. Because the agenda that is possibly being planted as a result of this violence could only be more violence. It could only be more violence. That's what we've seen. That's what we've lived through. That's what we've experienced. Regardless of any concern and genuine sovereignty, safety that may have been offered in the occupied Palestine by the perceived safety that the guns of Israel have provided, the Israeli military regime itself is just that. And its intimate relationship in the politics of America cannot be ignored for those of us who really are ready to look at some of the big stuff. So this is really interesting. I looked just now at the time. I was thinking this would only be an hour, but never mind, because now I'm running out of time. I've got a few more minutes left to wrap this up. And I really hope, my whole prayer is that we find courage in this time to look at the bigger picture, that we find courage to think with our hearts. Thank you, Dawn. To open our thinking hearts and our loving minds to address the violence, to address our part in the violence, to address the healing that only we can be a part of, and that our part in it is the promise not only for ourselves, but for our children and for all life that will prosper from here on out. And there's so much more. This is the beginning of the exploration of the Boston Meltdown and the birth of Israelica, because we're living with them now. This is new. It's old, but it's the encore. And the encore, because it's subject to universal laws, means that our conscious participation will affect the outcome as it goes on, as it materializes day by day. So heed the call to open your own heart, open your own mind, do your own work, and learn about that inner part of us that is somehow complicit in this. And do our part to undo the knots so that our sacred psychic space is not being usurped by the satanic ritual killings, by the intention to perpetuate violence anymore. We can do that. So the continuation of this conversation will be in 2 weeks on the 18th of May. I'm really grateful, ecstatic even, that Alfred Lambermont Weber will be joining us to continue the multidimensional exploration of the Boston bombings. And in his exploration, he is one of the few people that can go multidimensional, that can really see the different parts. We have great researchers, and I love them all. Really great work. And Alfred is specific to me that he can go multi-dimensions. And he is going to bring to us a very important part of the inner manipulation that's going on. How we're being groomed in our consciousness to accept an order of reality that we really might not want if we really stopped and thought about it. So in 2 weeks, we will welcome Alfred Lambermont Weber, and he will be discussing the next level of this, very specific in data, in details, and in the structure, the intimate infrastructure of Obama, of the Queen, of the Order of the Vatican, the heart of this satanic ritual game that we are here to unravel. So, thank you all for listening. Thank you for caring. Thank you for being human being on planet Earth with all of us, with me, with all of you. Oh, I'm Jamil Graham. I am your host here at the Alchemy of Light broadcast. You can learn more about, stay updated with what's going on visiting my exopolitical blog at you can explore the exopolitical world, according to Jamil, at alchemyoflight.org and learn more about the services and what's going on as I am myself tuning in and tuning on to make our world a better place. So thank you so much, and thank you to all the ancestors who have walked these paths before us. Thank you to all the beings that have joined in this conversation on multi-dimensions, friends and foes alike. We need you all. Thank you very much for being a part of our healing and our reset in harmony as we untie the knots that have bound us to this poison of violence and allow ourselves to move free in light once again. And thank you, Don, and thank you, Doug, and thank you, Seth. Thank you, BBSRadio.com, for existing, for making this possible, and for being a part of making this opportunity possible so that we can have a platform to share our truth. All right, then. That's enough for today. Please take good care of yourselves. Take good care of each other. And we'll catch you next time in 2 weeks. May the 18th with Alfred Lambermont Weber. Okay, bye-bye.